I really don't think there's any reason why we can't get through the end of the chapter tonight, through the end of the book. A lot of this we've studied already in chapter 39. And some of it, well, our Sunday school teacher hadn't got this far yet in the Kings, but almost. Right. So I'm not going to talk a lot about the Kings of Jerusalem that are listed here tonight, other than what's talked about in the scripture here. And like I said, we've talked some back in chapter 39. We may go back there for a moment and look, but we'll see if we have time. Anyway, so let's start with chapter 52, verse 1. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And this is the last king to rule in Jerusalem over Judah. It tells here his age. He was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. Now, there's a short period of time where he goes to live in Babylon. And this doesn't include that. So he was only in, he only reigned for 11 years. So he would have been 32 when he was captured by the king of Babylon. So still a fairly young man when he was captured. And we see his mother's name. Her father was a man named Jeremiah, but not the same Jeremiah who wrote this book, but a different Jeremiah. It was a popular name in that part of the world during that time. Verse 2, and he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. Now, remember Jehoiakim. I'm not going to talk much about him tonight, but other than to say this, that there's several in our studying the kings, if you remember, there's several of the other kings that it says that they did evil according to the way Jehoiakim did. Jehoiakim was probably one, if not the worst, one of the, at least one of the worst kings that Judah had after Solomon. During the time of the split kingdom. So he was a very wicked man. In the scripture, the Lord always goes back and compares the king that we're talking about at the time to Jehoiakim. So Zedekiah, it says, did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was just as evil. He says, according to all that Jehoiakim had done, he was just as evil as Jehoiakim. And what evil is the Lord talking about here? Well, what we've been studying about. The majority of what we have studied in the book of Jeremiah as far as the evil that was taking place in Jerusalem and in Judah and that had taken place in Israel before they were captured, it was that the people, God's people, had turned to false gods, to idolatry, and to spiritual adultery. And the kings led them to it. The kings permitted it. They didn't, for the most part, very few kings tried to stop them. They went right along with it, and in some cases even led them into it. Let's go on in verse 3. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now remember way back, and I don't remember which chapter, but way back in Jeremiah, remember the Lord told Jeremiah that if he would go and preach to the king, not just the king at Jerusalem, but also the kings of the nations around them, and let them know that if they would yoke up with the king of Babylon, that the Lord would protect them for a time anyway. Now, the Lord gave a prophecy there that it wouldn't last. Eventually that yoke would come, it would change from a wooden yoke to an iron yoke, and it would become unbearable for those kings, and they would eventually break their alliance with the king of Babylon, and he would come in and destroy them. And so it happened with the king of Jerusalem. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon and broke that alliance that they had with the king of Babylon, and that's when the king of Babylon had enough and come in and besieged Jerusalem. Now we know it was the Lord that did all that. It was the Lord that sent the king of Babylon there. It was the Lord that hardened the heart of Zedekiah. You know, he doesn't come right out and tell us that, but we know that's how God works with kings. He can harden their hearts to where, I think Pharaoh is the prime example, because the Lord talks so much about Pharaoh in Moses' day, where he hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and about the time Pharaoh was about to let the people go, God would harden his heart, and Pharaoh would rebel and change his mind, cause the people to stay, and would refuse to let them go. Zedekiah rebelled against God, and he says here he rebelled against the king of Babylon. He went against what God told him to do. God told him to yoke up with the king of Babylon, and things would be fine. He rebelled against him. Verse 4, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign. So in the ninth year, in the tenth month, and in the tenth day of the month. So 9 years, almost 10 years into his reign. His reign is almost over. Remember, he only reigned for 11 years, is what the first verse told us. So almost 10 years into his reign, that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came, and he and all his army against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. They built battlements all around the city of Jerusalem. They camped around it, circled it, and began to besiege it. And we've talked about that quite a bit, their siege tactics back then, and how they would surround a city with a large army and cut off all supplies coming in and out of the city, and would finally starve the people out to where they would finally give up and surrender, or they would just be able to walk right in because they had all died, one of the two. Verse 5, so the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So for a year and 2 months. I'm not going to try to count the days, but it says the 10th day of the month was where it says back in verse 4. So, but a year and 2 months they were besieged. We think about that. That's a long time. That their supplies were cut off, which means that they obviously had a lot of supplies built up in within the city because they knew this was coming. If you remember back further back in Jeremiah, remember how bad things got. The run of the king who put Jeremiah in the prison, but he let him have he was not in the deepest part of the prison like he was at one time, but he was in the courtyard of the prison, and he was allowed to have the best of the bread from the streets, from the bakers there in the city. Eventually that went away. We read about that. Now verse 7, then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. So Zedekiah and part of his army decided to flee the city. And And realize here that he says in parentheses there, the Chaldeans were by the sea around, but they encircled the cities. So they somehow got through the lines. And he says they went by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. So they left from the king's palace and went and escaped. But it's only for a short time. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon in Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, bound him in chains, and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison to the day of his death. So Zedekiah is captured by the Chaldean army. And remember, we've talked about this before. Remember, the Chaldeans was the nation, the land of the Chaldeans. And then you had Babylon was the capital city. The king of Babylon had his elite fighting force with him. The Chaldeans still answered to him, but they were separate also. They were like the national army. And then he had his army of Babylon that was under him directly. These Chaldeans troops capture the king of Zedekiah and turn him over to the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon, it says, gave judgment upon him. He gave him some type of trial. We don't know what. Some kind of probably some kind of military tribunal of some sort, and then passed judgment upon him. And his judgment was that he had to watch his sons be killed by the Babylonians. And they also slew all the princes of Judah. And then he put out his eyes and sent him back to Babylon as captive until he was dead, until he died. And we'll let our Sunday school teacher tell more about Zedekiah when he gets to that place in his study. So that's all on Zedekiah for tonight. All of this, like I said, you can go back, or I don't think we'll do it tonight, but you can go back to chapter 39 and read. Basically, it's the same thing it says here. There's a few more details, but not much. Verse 12, now in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, King Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon into Jerusalem. Now, remember this captain of the guard. Back in chapter 39, he was the one that kind of helped Jeremiah. He seemed like a good guy, at least back in chapter 39, until we see what he does here. Because what's recorded here is not recorded back in chapter 39, so he's not... He's not the guy we thought you think he was back in chapter 39. It says he came into Babylon and burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire. So they set fire to the temple and to the king's palaces and to the king's it's just the houses of the great men. In other words, to the mansions. He set fire to the rich side of town. But he also said all the houses of Jerusalem. It wasn't just the palaces, wasn't just the Lord's house, wasn't just the rich people's house. They set fire to everything. They burned the city to the ground. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. And if you want to a study sometime, go to Nehemiah and look at how bad it really was. Nehemiah goes into great detail on what Jerusalem looked like when he got there, and he began to lead the people into rebuilding the walls, and eventually get around to rebuilding the temple and some other things. But here we see what happened. This captain of the guard had the army destroy everything. They tore down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for husbandmen. So he left behind a remnant of people to take care of the crops. Why was that? It was to feed the troops, for one. They needed slaves to feed the troops that were there. And then, if you remember further back in our study too, it appears as though those troops brought some of their families with them. And there were other people from Babylon that moved to that area. And so they kept these Jews there to take care of the gardens and the crops. In verse 17, also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord. Now, we're going to see a whole list of things here that they did to the temple and to the things in the temple. I want you to notice, though, that the Ark of the Covenant is never mentioned here. And so, it was either hidden by the priest, or the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to it, I don't think. I've never found any place where it tells what happened to it. We just know in one story it's there, and the next it's not. That's basically how it's left. But we see here what happened. Also, the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases, and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans brake and carried all the brass of them to Babylon. The cauldrons also, and the shovels, and the snuffers, and the bowls, and the spoons, and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, took they away, and the basins, and the fire pans, and the bowls, and the cauldrons, and the candlesticks, and the spoons, and the cups, that which was of gold and gold, and that which was of silver and silver, took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, one sea, and 12 brazen bulls that were under the bases which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. And concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a fillet of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers. It was hollow. And the chapiter of brass was upon it, and the height of one chapiter was 5 cubits, with the network and pomegranates upon the chapiters around about, all of brass. The second pillar also and the pomegranates were like unto these, and there were 90 and 6 pomegranates on a side, and all the pomegranates upon the network were 100 round about. So all the valuables out of the temple, anything that was worth anything, they took. Notice the brazen sea. Man, that thing was huge. If you ever see a picture of it, it was huge. It was on the backs of the bulls, thank you. The bulls that it set on the backs of were life size. They weren't miniature; they were life size. And so this thing was huge. And it says they broke it. They broke it in pieces. Why? Because it was brass. They could sell it. They could melt it down. They broke it and took it back to Babylon. They took all these things and took them back to Babylon. The things of the Lord. And it belonged to the Lord. They were in the Lord's house. And they took them back. And you can imagine that if the Lord let all this happen to his house, how angry he had to have been with his own people to allow that to happen. And then, if you notice the verse 21, the height of one pillar, talking about the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. That's about 27 feet. A pillar of 12 cubits did compass it. It went around it, in other words, around the circumference of it. It was 18 foot in circumference. And then the thickness thereof was four fingers, which they say is about 3 inches. That doesn't seem like that big, but it's tall, 27 foot. And then the chapiters were 5 cubits. That's 7.5 feet. So this, all this stuff was really large. I mean, if you remember when in Sunday school, when our Sunday school teacher went through and studied on those things when Solomon was building the temple, it was just enormous. These things that the Lord had them build, and it was meant to last till the Lord comes back, basically. But the Chaldean army destroys all of it. And after, well, when they take all this stuff out, they burn it. They burn it to the ground, what's left. Verse 24 begins to talk about their exile to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Sarah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. And he took also out of the city an eunuch, which had the charge of the men of war, and 7 men of them that were near the king's person. Everybody close to the king, he took the chief priest and the second priest out of the temple. And he says, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, who mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the midst of the city. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death in Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. So all these men that he talked about here, the chief priest, the second priest, the keepers of the door of the temple, in other words, the guards of the door, and then all these other men that he talks about, king of Babylon put them to death. But if you remember back in chapter 39, this same captain of the guard, this Nebuzaradan, protected Jeremiah, was friendly to him, and helped him. It's amazing how the Lord took care of those who had betrayed him, and yet Jeremiah, he kept alive and kept him doing what he had been doing. In verse 28, this is the people whom Nebuchadrezzar carried away captive. So now he's going to tell us how many they carried away. And this is just out of Jerusalem, remember. There's already been some taken out of Judah, out of the country, the nation of Judah. And there's also those that were taken out of the northern kingdom of Israel. There were several thousand out of there also. But this is just out of Jerusalem. In the seventh year, 3,000 Jews and 3 and 20. So 3,320 were taken in the seventh year. In the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. So 832 persons in that time. So they take them away in stages. They don't take them all away at one time. It's in stages. And he says in verse 30, in the 20th year of Nebuchadrezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600 people that they carried away out of Jerusalem. Oh, and remember, I said just Jerusalem. That's not including the rest of the nation of Judah. And remember, they went through a siege a year, a year and 2 month siege. There wasn't many people left. Jerusalem was a very large city in that day before the siege, but after the siege was over with, he carried away 4,600 people. Then in verse 31, and it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, and what a name! His first part of his name is evil. tells you what kind of guy he was, huh? King of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. And remember, even after the people of Israel and the people of Judah were in captivity, they still had a king. He was not much of a king. He was mostly king in name only. He would have been the one who was the closest relative who was still alive, that was in line for the throne. But he was just a figurehead. That was about it. He didn't really have any real power. The king of Babylon brought him forth out of prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat before him all the days of his life, and for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. And that's the end of the chapter. And if you notice, this new king of Babylon, with the evil name, seems to take pity on the king of Judah, and brings him into his court and begins to feed him. From his own table, looks like. And he's there until the day he dies. Jeremiah doesn't go into a lot of what happens during the captivity, because remember, Jeremiah never went to Babylon himself. The Lord kept him in Judah and in that area, until his death. And he never went to Babylon with the other captives. He stayed with the remnant in Judah. He went for a short time in Egypt when some of them went to Egypt against what God told them. When the Lord sent the king of Babylon to destroy Egypt, he also destroyed the majority of those people that Jeremiah was with, and they wound up going back. Back to Judah. I don't know where we'll go next for a study, or if we may not start another study next week. We may just preach a sermon. We'll see what the Lord has. I thought about going to Lamentations next, since it's the next book and it's written by Jeremiah also. We'll pray about it and see what the Lord has. Maybe something else. At some point, I would like to start the book of Daniel, but I may wait till we finish Revelation first before I go there. So that's all we have for tonight.